Welcome back. The European debt crisis has claimed its first victim in the U.S., although it's unlikely the word victim will be applied to the investment firm MF Global, which declared bankruptcy after buying over $6 billion in bonds and other debt from countries like Spain, Italy, you know, countries that are foundering. Former New Jersey governor and Goldman Sachs executive John Corzine ran MF Global. As Joe Nocera writes today in the New York Times, you'd think that a former Wall Street titan would have noticed that taking giant bets on shaky bonds was not exactly a recipe for success. Today, federal investigators are looking into whether Corzine lost too much of his firm's money and lost track of customer money, while observers like Nocera are asking how he stands to get a $12 million severance as he sinks a company. Ben Protes is Deal Book reporter for the New York Times. They broke the story on the investigation into that missing customer money at MF Global. And Ben, do you think people are being too harsh here on Corzine?
I think a little bit. Just to point out, I think that he's an unsecured creditor. Mr. Corzine is, because MF Global filed for bankruptcy yesterday, although he would technically be entitled to a $12 million golden parachute, he's got to stand in line like everybody else. And my guess is, just from what I've heard about what kind of person he is, and he's a critic of lavish Wall Street bonuses, I would be very, very surprised if Mr. Corzine stood in line to collect.
Takes the money. As Joe Nocera writes, someone who single-handedly destroyed MF Global Holdings, if he's in a position to command so much as a penny in severance, it's horrifying. I guess, is it accurate to say that he did drive this company into the ground? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, his risky kind of strategy to expand into European debt is what ultimately led the firm to be toppled. On the other hand, a lot of people can look at it and say, these bets were actually quite smart in the long term. However, they never got to the long term because after reporting some very shockingly disappointing earnings last week and a variety of other factors, basically everyone panicked and there was essentially a run on it.
Joe Nocera also writes that Corzine told others on Wall Street that Europe wouldn't let these countries fail, so he felt secure in investing in them because he was betting that the International Monetary Fund or the European Union would bail those countries out. Isn't that considered somewhat risky, betting that you would get bailout money?
Absolutely, it's risky. On the one hand, it's risky. On the other hand, it's profitable in the long term. Where he got tripped up is that when it was disclosed in a regulatory filing a couple months ago, everyone panicked. No one really knew that a bailout was coming. It was a bet that he made, but the rest of the world wasn't betting that necessarily. And basically, investors panicked. They reported a major loss last week, and the rest is history.
Well, and part of that that's very current, actually, is the fact that a potential buyer realized over the weekend that money was missing. You know, the company had essentially collapsed by then, but that's customer money. Where is that?
We don't know, and the regulators don't know either. Basically, the firm could not account for $950 million in collateral that customers had given to MF Global. It just was missing, quite frankly. And over the last 48 hours, some of that money has turned up. They think the number's closer to about $600 million now. Nevertheless, that's $600 million in customer money that is gone, and that basically violates a fundamental tenet of Wall Street regulation, which is you have to keep customer money segregated. You have to keep it separate from the company's money.
So, Ben, do you think there will be any SEC sanctioning here?
I think the SEC and the CFTC are investigating whether or not there was actual wrongdoing. At the very least, it seems that MF Global did not keep the funds segregated as they are required to under securities and commodities law. And if ultimately it's determined that this was a intentional misuse of and misallocation of funds, you could see sanctions for the firm during the bankruptcy process, or perhaps even for the officials involved in the misallocation of the funds, if that were to result.
Well, Ben, stay with the regulatory aspect of this, because we thought, especially post the huge Wall Street crisis, that there were some changes, but also some regulations in place. Explain the regulations here. What is the regulation? I think it's the Volcker rule that applies to, you know, how you spend your money or your customers' money. And what are the requirements about leveraging? It was discovered that MF Global had, what, a dollar in its coffers for every $40 it had risked. We thought banks were going to be required to have more cash on hand for these big bets they were rolling. So what are some of the regulatory aspects here?
Well, with the Volcker rule, it's important to keep in mind that the rule essentially requires banks, FDIC-insured banks, to not trade with their own money. So they can trade for customers. However, a bank that has the FDIC guarantee, they cannot put their own capital at risk. Ultimately, in this case, MF Global is not really a bank. It's kind of this unique commodities brokerage unit that, while massive in its own right, is not escalating to the same level as a Wall Street bank like a Goldman Sachs or a Citigroup.
And what about the requirement that banks have more cash?
Those are rules that are set by international regulators, and it's being kind of phased in over the next several years. MF Global was very much leveraged at 40 to 1. That is disturbingly high. That's about what Lehman Brothers was at when it collapsed, and regulations are being phased in over the next few years that would ultimately lead major financial institutions to not have so much leverage. On the other hand, MF Global is not subject to all of these regulations because it operates in the commodity brokerage space, and not so much as a FDIC-insured bank, which it is not.
Well, then that brings us to compensation. You say that you don't think that John Corzine, a staunch liberal who's talked quite a bit about income inequality, will take the $10, $12 million or so that's due him because of his contract with MF Global. But still, you know, 64% of the revenue of that company went to compensation. How is Wall Street responding to this story, especially given the figure at the middle of it?
Well, 64% is unusually high. It's usually 50 to 60%. I think the important thing to keep in mind is that Wall Street is laying off people by the thousands right now. Bank of America has announced 30,000 layoffs. Goldman Sachs has announced many layoffs as well, and they're cutting costs everywhere that they can. Compensation is a different matter. It's very hard to keep good talent in the banks if they're not paid the way they want to be.
But shouldn't compensation be based on performance?
Well, the SEC is now enforcing new rules as a result of the Dodd-Frank Act that was enacted in the wake of the financial crisis. These rules would basically require banks to turn over detailed analysis of how they pay their employees. And if the SEC finds that it is not performance-based and it's just it's excessive or amounts to things that would incite reckless risk-taking, then they can sanction the firm and prevent it from paying out those big bonuses.
Yeah.
The chatter on Wall Street right now is everybody's looking for who is next. Could there be another victim of the European debt crisis? So that includes customers who can't access their money entirely because, quite frankly, we don't know where it is. And it also involves investors in MF Global like Jefferies and Company and JP Morgan. These are major creditors at this point of MF Global that are going to have to line up in the bankruptcy process to try to get their money back.
Ben Protes, deal book reporter for The New York Times. Ben, thanks so much.
Thanks so much. Okay, take care.
And by the way, Thursday, we'll speak with the director of the new film Margin Call, which could be the story of MF Global. And up next, Gregory Maguire, Here and Now.